Good morning, Abose. Welcome to our Sunday morning Shulchan Aruch Evan HaEzer Shir. We are learning Siman Yud Aleph. We're going to do two small points, and then we're going to get into a new topic. The small points that we're going to do is something that we spoke about last week, and that is, let's say a person does divorce his wife, but for a very specific reason. So we saw last week in the Shulchan Aruch, Hamotzias Ishto Mishum Shemra Shiatzaleh. Rumors have been circulating about a person's wife, and he says, if these rumors are true, I can't be married to this woman. Terrible rumors about her being not faithful. And therefore, he divorces her because of those rumors. Ome Pneshi Nadronis, Ome Pneshi Ilonis. She has a habit of making Nidorim, or she seems to be infertile. She never reaches physical maturity. She's an Ilonis. So we say, Lo Yachs, you're not allowed to marry her. The reason why we said they're not allowed to marry her, we spoke about last week, is because we're worried that if you find out afterwards that the rumors were false, you find out afterwards that she gets remarried to another guy and she has kids, you find out afterwards, oh, she made a nedarim, but you could be made for the nedarim, just go to the rabbi and be made for the nedarim. You'll say, oh, if I would have only have known that I could solve the problem, that it wasn't a real problem, I would never have divorced her. And really, I didn't divorce her intentionally, and therefore her whole divorce was mistaken, and therefore her new marriage and her new kids are all mamzerim. So therefore we say that if somebody divorces his wife with those pretenses, with those reasons, then he's just never going to be able to be machzir her. That's what we said last time. And now the Shulchan Aruch adds, in the next seif, Hamotzis ishto mishum dvarim halecha midvarim halalu, if you do, if the Beis Din assumes that the reason why you're divorcing your wife is because of one of these reasons, that because you assumed that she was unfaithful, no proof, you assumed, or you were concerned with her nedarim, or any such, you had questioned her fertility, or things like that, omrim lo, heve yodea she'ena tamachzir lo'olam, we tell you explicitly, you should know that if you divorce her, keep in mind, we're warning you. We're telling you clearly that you should know, if you go ahead with this, then you're not going to be able to remarry her under any condition, even if you see that the circumstances changed. Why do we tell this to her? So the Beis Shmuel explains, because, quotes Rashi, because once you told him that you're not going to be able to take her back, even if something changes again, let's say you assume she's infertile, so you divorce her. And then, lo and behold, you find that she was fertile, she had a kid with another husband. We're telling you, I'm just warning you, if you divorce her because of something like infertility, you can never take her back. Va'az eino yochel lahotzi laz. Kevan shiyada da'asur lo. And you still didn't wait to see if things work out, see if there would be a solution. You didn't wait. You just went ahead like a bull in a china shop. You went forward, moved forward, gave her the get, and said, forget it. It must be. You really don't like her. And that's why. V'lo chosh lahamte v'livdok she pirit. I'm not sure what that's saying. Gila Daito. I'm sorry. Lo chosh lahamtir lidok shapir. You didn't sufficiently investigate the situation, and you just went forward. It must be gila daito lo haysachavivelo. It must be that this fact that she's infertile, or the fact that she's an adronis, the fact that she's there are rumors about her. That's just a pretext. You're really divorcing her because you don't like her, and you're just making excuses. And therefore, we're never going to allow you to go back on your assumptions. Okay, that's... Yes, sir. Yes, except in these specific situations where Chachamim were worried that there's an assumption upon which the divorce is based, and that assumption could get ruined, and she'll get remarried and have kids, and he'll say, oh, I never assumed that she would, that she would have kids. I never assumed that there were rumors really false. And then she'll end up messing up her new husband's family and the children from the second marriage. So therefore we say, sorry, once you divorce her with those assumptions, you know, if you just divorce a woman because you don't like her, you'll let her remarry her. But if you divorce her because she's infertile, and then she ends up having kids, you're going to come to the Beis Din screaming and said, I would never have divorced her if I would have only known. Meanwhile, when you come to Beis Din screaming, you just made a whole bunch of kids mamzerim. So we're going to warn you and say, if you think that she's infertile, you could divorce her. But just know that you can never take her back, even if you find that she will be fertile. So then you have to really decide, Do you love her? Do you not love her? If you don't love her, okay, divorce her. But if you love her, and it's just the fact that she's infertile, you better do checks and you better investigate. You better give it time. And if you don't, it shows that you didn't love her, and we're not going to believe you to question the marriage later on. Okay. Now, one last point in this siman before we go on to the next siman, and that is the Shulchan Aruch says, let's say you made a neder. I swear, and you say he swears that he's going to divorce his wife. He makes a neder to divorce his wife. So he has to divorce his wife, right? Okay, so he'll divorce his wife. But is he allowed to take her back afterwards? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Hamotzi is ishto mishum neder, shenoda lehotzia. Okay, you made a neder to divorce your wife. Go ahead, divorce her. And the day after, you'll remarry her. Or a week after, yachol hachzira, right? A guy is gets angry. His wife, asks him, he gets a credit card bill from Bloomingdale's for $4,000 for the seventh time this month. And he says, you bring home one more, credit card bill from Bloomingdale's. I swear I'm gonna. And he says he'll divorce her. And lo and behold, 4 days later, there was an emergency in the wardrobe and she didn't have the right pair of shoes. And she comes back with three options just 2 days later because of this terrible emergency, because it's a vart of a third cousin whom she might be invited to. So she had to get those pairs of shoes because of this terrible emergency. And he says, okay, I swore that I was going to divorce you. You went to Bloomingdale's and I have to divorce you. He does love her. He just was trying to scare her off and she didn't fall for it. So he says, okay, sweetheart, I have to divorce you now. I swore. So he'll divorce her. But the next day, or a week later, after she gets really scared, she's like, oh my gosh, I'll never do it again. At that point, he could take her back, no problem. Says Bishma, we're not worried about anything. What are we worried about? We're worried about that he swore. Well, he swore, but he did divorce her. Once he divorced her, what more do we have to be worried about? That there's no mamzerim that could come out of this. He divorced her. Now she'll go marry somebody else. What is he going to say? He'll say, oh, I didn't know that I could be shoal on the neder. Let's see. Kasav habach hatam hakol yodim efshar lahatir neder. Let's think about this case for a second. You swear that you're going to divorce your wife. So you go ahead and divorce her. And then a week later you said, oh, I never knew that I could be matir neder. I never would have divorced her. I only divorced her because I thought I had to. I thought I had to because I made an oath. I never knew that I could be matir neder. And therefore, my whole divorce was mistaken. And really, if I only knew that I could have been matir neder, would never have divorced her in the first place. And therefore, I think that the divorce is mistaken. Therefore, she should be really come back to be my wife. The whole divorce was mistaken. Meanwhile, she married another man. She has 17 children from this other guy. So they're all going to be mamzerim. Says the Beis Shmuel, no, come on. Everybody knows that you could be matir neder. If you went ahead and divorced her because you made a neder to divorce her, the whole world knows you could be matir neder. We all do it on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So you went ahead and you weren't matir neder and you followed through and did divorce her? It must be because you wanted to divorce her. And it's not going to cause a kilkel later on because everybody knows that you could divorce her. I'm sorry, everybody knows that you could be matir neder. Wait a second. But didn't we say just 3 minutes ago or 5 minutes ago, in a case where you have a wife and forget that she's infertile, forget that there are rumors about her, she's a nadronis. We said before that if a woman is a nadronis, I'll show you what we said just 5 minutes ago. We said before, Hamotzeis ishto, because, skip that, mipnei she nadronis, lo yachzur, you can't take her back. Why not? You can't take her back because what might happen? You'll divorce her, and then you'll say, oh, I didn't know that I could just be made for her nadarim. I didn't know I could just be matir her nadarim. Or I didn't know that she could be matir her nadarim. So that means that a person could say, I didn't know you could be matir nadarim. So if that's the case, how come when the husband makes a neder, how come when the husband makes a neder, we say, oh, everyone knows that you could be matir neder, and therefore, if you still divorced her, you must have known you could be matir neder, and therefore, we're not worried that anything could happen, that there will be a kilkel. We seem to have a double standard. Again, let me say the stira again. There seems to be a stira in these two lines of the Shulchan Aruch. If somebody makes a neder, we'll get into whom in a minute. If somebody makes a neder, do we assume that, oh, everybody knows that you could be matir neder, or we don't assume that people know that you could be matir neder? Here, when the man made a neder, I'm going to divorce my wife. And then he goes ahead and divorces her. Do we say, could he come tomorrow and say, oh, if I only knew I could be matir neder, I would never have divorced her. It's a whole mistake. She's not really divorced. We say, no, everybody knows you could be matir neder. But when I divorced my wife because she makes nedarim, we said that, oh, that's very dangerous, because when she's matir neder and you divorce her, you might come and claim, I never knew that I could be matir nedarim, that's why I had to divorce her. So it seems to be not clear whether or not we believe somebody. We assume that people know how to be matir nedarim. Okay, so that's going to be a question which we're not going to get into. Those are the few halachas that we saw at the end of that siman. And now, those cases we're talking about, why a person divorced his wife and could he take her back. Now, Rabbi Osei, we're going to talk about a brand new siman. We're up to the next siman. We finished siman Yud. We're up to siman Yud Aleph. Siman Yud Aleph is a case of modern-day sota. What I mean by modern-day? I mean by modern-day in that in the olden days, meaning the psukim and the chumash, you have a case of sota. A woman, a married woman, is accused of being, warned two parts to sota, as the Gemara and sota, as the Mishnah and sota indicate, there are two parts of sota. She has to be warned by her husband, stay away from so-and-so, and then she's found to have yichud with so-and-so. That's all. We don't know if anything happened. So she becomes a sota, excuse me, and the halachas of a sota, again, if we know that she did something wrong, she's caught, there are edim, that she was mezana, that's not a sota. That's called Eishes Ish, and we kill her, or we, certainly she has to get divorced from her husband, and she's never allowed to be with her husband again, she's never allowed to be with her her suitor, the guy that she was caught with. I'm talking about if she was not seen, there were no edim that she was with another man, but she's a sota, meaning she was miyached with another man. Specifically the guy that her husband said, please stay away from him. I don't like the way he winks at you. I don't like the way he flirts with you. We don't know what happened. They went to Yichud. Maybe they were drinking coffee. Maybe they were schmoozing about the good old days. And that's all that happened. Well, that is the case of a sota. And the Torah says that if a person warns his wife to stay away from a guy, and that man and woman are found that they were in Yichud together, actually, by the way, in the Gemara and Sod, it says you don't even need edim, two edim, that she was in Yichud. Once there was a warning, even one aid that says that they had Yichud together, it's a Chiddush Hakra, Xeris HaKaz, that one aid is believed, once there was a Kinoi, to tell us that they were found by Yichud. Once there's even one aid that she had Yichud with this man whom she was warned to stay away from, that's called a Sota. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we had a way to clarify, a super natural way to clarify, did anything happen between this guy and girl, this wife and this man, this strange man, while they were in Yichud? That was drinking the Mesota. The Mesota would clarify for us whether or not she did anything wrong or they were just drinking coffee when they were in Yichud together. Nowadays, we don't have Mesota, and therefore she will remain a Sota for the rest of her life. What's the significance of that? So the Gemara in Sota tells us the significance of being a Sota is that she is usher to her husband for the rest of his life, for the rest of her life, and she was also ushered to this man whom she is accused of possibly having some kind of relationship also for the rest of her life. Now, did anything happen with this woman and this man whom she had yichud with? We have no clue. We don't know. But she's still going to be ushered to him, and that's Xeris HaKasav. That's the case of Sota. And that's the case that is going to be different nowadays because we don't have the ability to clarify. Now, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, if a woman was a Sota and she drank the water and she ended up fine, then she goes straight back to her husband. She's totally mutaris la husband, even though she was warned to stay away from Ploni. And she had Yichud with Ploni, but the Sota water is clarified for us that nothing happened when she had yichud with Ploni, and she'll go straight back to her husband and continue her married life like nothing happened. If I could just ask Mr. Sporn to turn off your, to mute yourself. Now, if Mr. Sporn, if you could just mute your phone, that would be great, the second phone. Now, if we, what I just said is that all we know about is that she had yichud with this other man. What we'll talk about soon is what happens if we saw something worse than yichud, which we'll see soon. What could be worse than yichud? Well, a lot of things could be worse than yichud. Yichud could mean nothing. Yichud could mean, you know, a guy came into her house and they sat down and had coffee, just no one else is there. But what happens if they, if she was caught, again, not doing an aveira, but caught doing some other activities that might make us think that something happened between this man and the woman, and we'll see those cases later. That's what I mean by caught in the act. We'll see later what those cases might be. So let's learn together a Mishnah Yevamos, Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, that'll give us a little bit of a background. So the case is like this. The case is, there are rumors that a certain Jewish man is hanging out with a Gentile girl. Lo and behold, 2 weeks later, this Gentile girl is Megayer. And now the Jewish guy wants to get married to her. So when you put all the pieces together, you know what you assume? We assume that chances are those rumors about this Jewish guy hanging out with this Gentile girl were probably true. And now that she's married, you know, after the rumors are, that just, you know, is sort of like the icing on the cake, then now, I'm sorry, now that she's a Megayer, maybe, you know, he wants to marry her because they already had a relationship from before. Alternatively, you have a shifcha. A Jewish kid from the neighborhood is going out with a shifcha, a non-Jewish maidservant. And lo and behold, she gets freed because, I don't know, Yovel's coming up or her 6 years are up. And she goes free. The day after she goes free, this Jewish boy proposes to her. So what does that tell us? It tells us that our chashashos and our concerns of what was happening prior while she was a Gia, while she was a Gentile woman, while she was a Shifcha, those rumors of that, those accusations were probably true. You know what the Mishnah is going to say? The boy about whom there were rumors that he was hanging out with this Shifcha or with this Goya is not going to be permitted to marry her after she is Nishtachrer, or after she is Nisgayer. He's not allowed to marry her. That's what the Mishnah is going to tell us. Let's see the Mishnah together. Hanita, that means there were rumors, al HaShifcha, with a guy with a Shifcha, v'nishtachra, and she gets freed. O Allah, Ovedes Kochavim, there are rumors about a Jewish boy with an Ovedes Kochavim, v'nisgayra, hareze lo yichnos, he's not allowed to marry her. Okay, but he didn't ask the rabbi, is it okay if I married her? He just went ahead and married her. V'im kanas ein motzin miado. He did marry her. He wasn't supposed to marry her, but he went ahead and married her anyway. Paskins the Mishnah, he's allowed to stay married with her, even though there's a very good chance that he might have had some kind of inappropriate relationship before she was Nisgayer, or before she was Nishtachre. That's background, but that's not what we're going to be discussing. We're going to be discussing something a little bit more severe. What happens if you have a married woman? A married woman, and there are rumors that this married woman is hanging around with somebody besides her husband. We'll call him Joe Schmo. This married woman is hanging out with Joe Schmo. Terrible rumors. So her husband, he, you know, doesn't want to be involved with such a woman. He divorces her for good reason, because of these terrible rumors and her promiscuity. And lo and behold, the day after the get, Joe Schmo proposes to her and wants to marry her. That probably cements, concretizes the rumors, doesn't it, don't they? So she's not allowed to marry Joe Schmo. What happens if she does? Could they stay married? Just like the guy who married the woman who about whom there were rumors that he was hanging out with before she got her geiros or before she was in the Shtachra? Let's see what the Mishnah says. Hanitan al Eshes Ish. a Jewish boy, there are rumors about him and his involvement with the Eishes Ish, she's married to another man. V'hotzi uha mitachas yado, and the husband or the Beis Din, discussion in the Gemara, say that she has to be removed from her marriage, meaning the husband has to divorce her because of these terrible rumors. So she goes ahead and marries the guy that there were the rumors about, Joe Schmo. Afal pisha konas, even though Joe Schmo married this woman, Yotzi, he's not going to be able to stay married to her. Not like the previous case. If you, b'di'evad, married the girl that you were had rumors about before she was Megayer or before she was Nishtachrer, and then married her, we'll let you stay married. But if somebody had some rumors about an Eishes Ish, and then after she was divorced, that person whom the rumors were about went ahead and married her, we would not permit him to stay married to this woman. We would say, no, this, we're not going to allow this kind of hanky-panky. Yotzi, you can't stay married to this woman. There's a rumor about you and her before she got divorced from her first husband. That's what the Mishnah paskens. The Gemara comes and clarifies and says, well, it sort of depends. It depends what we knew about what really happened while she was married. Iika Edim, says the Gemara Mafkinim, if there were Edim that she actually did something wrong while she was married, meaning there were Edim that she was Mizana, there were Edim that she did Eishes Ish while she was under her husband, then if she ends up marrying the guy, we'll call him the Boel, if she ends up marrying that Boel, the Mizana, the Eishes Ish guy, later we'll say, you have to get divorced, you're not going to be able to stay together. However, Ileka Edim, if there were no Edim, there were just rumors, there was just bad talk, but we don't have Edim that she was actually Mizana, she actually did Eishes Ish, then if she ends up marrying the person that there were just rumors about, then we're not going to be motzi him if he ends up marrying. You shouldn't marry her. It's inappropriate. We don't like it. We frown on it. But if he does marry her, we can't force them away from each other. That's the Gemara's assumption. In fact, the Gemara, this is Gemara in Yevamah Mishnah Chavtalad. That's what the Gemara is telling you. The Gemara is telling you that if there are Edim, well, the Chiddush is that if they do get married, which they shouldn't have, you're saying it's obvious that she can't get married. The Chiddush is that even if she did get married, we could still force her out in the future. That's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that it's teaching us a halacha. You're right. This is teaching us the halacha. This Gemara is from where we know that if a woman is Mizana, the person with whom she's Mizana, even if she marries him after she gets divorced from her first husband, he will have to be motzi her, he will not be able to stay married with her. That's the halacha that, yes, is maybe a halacha that you're familiar with, which is fine. But look here, look at the Mesa. It challenges the Gemara the following. Gemara in Yevamah Chavtal and Beis, Frekt Mesve, I'm going to show you a braisa that it's against what you just said. But Medvar Mamurim, when do we say that you could force her out, kishein labanim? Oh, when she doesn't have any children, so there are no mamzerim to speak of, or chashash mamzerim, or kids involved, that will get a ruined name, then you should force her out of this marriage with the guy who she's accused of cheating with. Aval yesh labanim? Wow. Aval yesh labanim, but if she has children from this man whom she married, whom she was accused, or there were rumors about that she was mezana with him in her first marriage, then if there are kids involved, let her stay married. That's if there were only rumors. However, vimbawe de tuma, but if we know with Edim that there were that she was mezana while they were married, then afil yesh lo kama banim, even if there are a bunch of kids, Tetzei, we will throw her out. I mean, if we have definitive knowledge that she was Mizana with Joe Schmo, and then she marries Joe Schmo, we will break apart this marriage, even if there are kids involved. We don't care about the children. Again, I don't know if they'll be really Mamzerim. They're not really Mamzerim, but we will break up this family. So, the previous line said that if there are no edim, the previous line said, ileka edim lo mafkinan. If there are no edim that she cheated, they're just rumors, we won't force the family apart. The Braisa says that even if there are no edim, so long as there are no children involved, we will force them apart. So it's a contradiction. Okay, how the Gemara resolves the contradiction, not so important for us right now. It is important, as we'll see. Why? What is the case that we are going to force the couple to be divorced? If there were rumors that they did something, again, no edim. They're just rumors that she did something wrong, but you don't have edim that she was actually mizana. And then the husband goes ahead and marries her, we'll force him out. I mean, not the husband goes ahead and marries her. This person about whom the rumors were that she was mizana with while she was married goes ahead and marries her. When will he force her out? So we're going to have two answers. Rav says it's a case of yesh labana v'yesh la'edim, that will force him out even if there are children, if there are edim that she actually was mizana. Let's move on because the next part is what we need to see. V'yibayseim, ahani masnaisa, these braises that say that we're going to force the woman out of the marriage that she entered because of the rumors, you know what the rumors were? Let me tell you a few examples. And this is where we're going to really get into the what I called caught in the act, which is not literal because she was not caught in the act. If she was actually caught in the act, if there were edim that caught her being unfaithful, then of course, if she would want to marry that person, Joe Schmo, with whom she was unfaithful, we would certainly not allow it. Of course, in all cases, we don't allow it. But even if she did marry Joe Schmo, we would force we would break the marriage apart. But here, the Chiddush is, we're talking about a case that all that was seen is a bunch. We're now going to have a bunch of cases that are indications that inappropriate activity might have occurred, but we don't have proof. Let's see the cases. And these are going to be the cases that she will have to divorce, even though we don't have proof that she was mizana. The case is, again, you have a married woman, and the traveling salesman knocks on her door, and Rochel Yotzei V'Isha Chogeres Besina. The husband comes home and finds the traveling salesman walking out of the front door, and she is, getting herself dressed. Which means that we assume that something happened while the traveling salesman was in the house. Amar Rabbi, hol mechulah hadavar. Since this is a disgusting, mechulah hadavar means there's grounds to assume that there was something wrong, Tetzei, she's going to have to get divorced. That's case number one. Do we have proof? No. We see a guy leaving the house, the traveling salesman leaving the house, and we see she's putting herself back together again. We don't know if anything happened. Maybe. Case number two. Roch l'malam and hakila. We see that there's spittle on the, above the bed. Amar Rabbi hol mechulah hadavar. We assume that she spit, and somebody, the husband comes home and sees that there's a roke on the top of the, above her bed. Assume that somebody spit while that was on the bed. Okay, number three. This is interesting because it has applications in other areas of halacha. Min alayim hafuchim tachas hamita. There are upside down shoes next to the bed. What does upside down shoes mean? Amar Rebbe, since it's a disgusting thing, meaning since there's an indication that something happened, Tetzei, we're going to force her to get divorced if she ends up marrying that guy afterwards. What's upside down shoes? Rashi explains. If you remember, I'm going to take you somewhere else for a second. Do you remember that when it comes to Yaharag Val Yavars, Gemara Sanhedrin says that when do you have to give up your life? Well, for the big three, Gili Arayis, Shrichus Damim, and Avodah Zarah. But what happens if it's a Shas Hashmad? If it's a Shas Hashmad, then the Inquisition, maybe the Nazis, Yahach Shmam. If it's a Shas Hashmad, then even if they tell you, we want you to change, fill in the blank. Even if they tell you, we want you to change blank, you have to give up your life. Fill in the blank, please. Correct. Even if they tell you, you have to change Araksa de Masana, the shay laces of your shoes, you have to give up your life. Explain what that means. What that means is, the Rishonim there explained that Jews and Goyim wore different color shoelaces. Jews wore black shoelaces and white, and the Goyim wore white shoelaces. And if such a situation would be that the Goyim say, not because they, you know, because they want to make you violate your religion, say, be like a Goy, and it's a Shas Hashmad, then if they say, we want you to put on Goyish shoes to look like a Goy, what do you see from that? Without getting into the halachas of Kiddush Hashem, you see that Jews had shoes that looked different than Goyim. So therefore, if you would be come into a house and you would see upside down shoes, why would anybody put their shoes upside down? It must be there was somebody who wanted to hide the color of their shoelaces. Like whom? Like a Gentile who's in your house and probably hiding in some closet somewhere. Oh, that's what it means. Min alayim hafuchim zek drashi pien lamata vadesh al nachrim hei, nachrihem. It must be there's a non-Jewish man visiting the house, and he didn't want it to be noticed that it's a guy, and he knew that the shoes are all different color shoelaces. So he flipped over his shoes so that the laces would be downwards. And the guy flipped the shoes upside down, so anyone coming into the house won't realize that there's a guy, you know, walking around without, not fully dressed, walking around the house. So these are all situations where we have what we'll call davar mechur, an ugly situation. It's an ugly situation. We don't have proof. The husband didn't see anything vividly, and there are no edim, but this is what was cited. These situations, whether the husband saw these things, that the woman getting herself dressed while the traveling salesman leaves, or the roch l'malam and hakila, or the upside-down shoes, either the husband noticed them, or there are edim that noticed them, but in such a case, even though it's not a real edus of her znus, this is enough of, it's more than a rumor, it's a lot more than a rumor, this is sufficient raglaim ledavar for us to break apart a marriage if we know that afterwards she got ahead and marry this gentleman. I don't know the answer to your question. You're raising the question that if min alayim hafuchim tachsamita, we're saying that we're worried that it's a Gentile's shoes. If a woman, an Eishes Ish, is mezana with a Gentile, does that make her off limits from ever being with her husband again? That's a whole sugya that's a good question. I don't have the tools to go into it yet. It's a good point. Yes. Okay. But the Gemara continues and says it depends. Everything that we're saying really depends, and we'll skip a little bit. This the Gemara says that these situations are only of concern if there is, let's see what the Gemara says again without going into the details too much. Lo kasha habikol de pasikol habikol de lo pasik. Only if the rumors are rumors that are stable rumors, but not a rumor that there's a fleeting rumor that somebody saw a traveling salesman walk out and herself getting dressed, that rumor lasted for about a half an hour and then it dissipated. So then we're not going to be worried, but if it's a rumor that stayed, then we are going to be concerned. What does it mean? How long does it have to stay to be a permanent rumor? We call it the lopas gad kama. Amr li aim dumim dumasa, yoma upalga. I don't remember what dumim dumasa means, but a day and a half. A day and a half is enough that's considered a permanent rumor for which we have to be concerned. And that's only if the rumor has been maintained for the full day and a half. There was no interruptions during that day and a half, where there was maybe yes rumor, maybe no rumor, maybe yes rumor, no rumor. And that's also if the rumor, if the rumor did stop for some point, it wasn't because there was any threats. If it stopped because of a threat, that's not considered stopping. Fine. And also maybe rumors only started because there's somebody, she has enemies, or she has enemies, and we also don't believe rumors. Okay. So those are some of the background in terms of the Gemara to what happens if a woman is found to have been mezana, or if she is found not to have been mezana, but there are rumors that she was mezana, or these raglaim ledavar, what we call mechura hadavar. Let's see now, the Shulchan Aruch itself, what the halachas would be for a woman who is what we call a sota bizman hazel. We don't have edus, but we have either yichud or some other raglaim ledavar that maybe she did something inappropriate while she's married, and she wants to go marry that same guy. Let's see. So this is the beginning of Simen Yud Aleph. So it comes to Shulchan Aruch and passes the following. The new Simen. Hanechshedes al eishes ish. A woman who is assumed to have violated, who is accused of being violating eishes ish. Im hayol akinui vestira. While she was married to her first husband, he warned her to stay away from Joshmo. There was an indication, there was at least a witness, if not two witnesses, that she had yichud with Joshmo. So in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, she would simply drink the Mei Sota, and that would clarify, did she do anything wrong with Joshua and that Yichud, or did she not? We don't have that, unfortunately. V'lo shasa samei ha-marim. Ho v'nesra al-baila b'shvila. Since this situation will make her be usher to her husband for the rest of their marriage because she is a Sota, guess what? Harei hi asura al-zeh she nisyachta imo la'olam. Kederech she asura al-baila. Just like she's going to be usher on her husband since she remains a Sota. Remember, we have no proof that she was Mizana. All we had was that he warned her, and she is found to have been Miyached with this guy. That itself is enough for her to be usher to her husband for the rest of his life, her life, his life, their life, and equally going to be usher on another man, this other man whom she had Yichud with and was warned against hanging out with. Now, by the way, I know you think this halacha is not... Not really halacha l'maisa, but this halacha could be very important, because if a husband would ever warn his wife, if you say to your wife, you know, stay away from so and so, I don't like the way he talks to you, that's all you did. You said 10 words, stay away from so and so, I don't like the way he talks to you. Okay, 13 words or so, and then any time in the next, I don't know, 10 years. Even one person happens to see him with your wife in a situation that happens to be yichud. You know, you have three plumbers and three electricians who work in your house. And you say to your wife, sweetheart, I don't like the way, you know, Dave, the plumber, talks to you when he comes to the house. Don't, you know, stay away from him. 3 years later, your wife needs to call the plumber and two plumbers aren't available. She calls Dave. She forgets Allah of Yichud and she locks the door or closes the door, locks the door when he comes to do the plumbing. Guess what? One aide, the next door neighbor, passes by and saw Dave the plumber's plumbing truck and comes to Bez and says, I saw Dave the plumber's plumbing truck in front of the house. Dave the plumber's inside and the door, I tried the door was locked. Guess what? The marriage is over. Maybe nothing happened, but we have no way to prove it because we don't have the Mesota. You, by saying to your wife 3 years earlier, I don't like the way Dave talks to you, stay away from him, don't be miyachid with him, that statement will make your marriage, you know, be over. So that's what the post-com said. Nowadays, when you don't have the possibility of mesota, to clarify these situations, one should never say to his wife, stay away from so, quote, stay away from so-and-so because I don't like the way he speaks to you. Because once you say that, that's a kinoi. And then, if there will ever be a steer, even with one aid, again, I told there's a chiddush hakasov in Hilchas Sota, that even one aid who sees the yichud, we don't normally we say, okay, ein davar shebe'er pachas mishnayim, we only assume something terrible happened if there are two witnesses who saw it, and that's true. Except here, in the case of yichud, since there was already a warning, that warning counts, the Gemara Sota says, like reglaim ledavar, that we assume something might happen. So if even one aid who sees the yichud will be sufficient grounds to make this woman usher to her husband, and equally usher to anybody else. And that's the psak that the Shulchan Aruch is paskening, that as long as there's a kinui and a stira, since we don't have the mehamarim, she'll be usher to her husband and to this man forevermore. Let's say the husband loves his wife, and they have a wonderful family. And he doesn't necessarily think she did anything wrong. He wants to keep her. Guess what? Sorry, buddy. You have 12 beautiful children. She's a wonderful mother. She's an okay wife. She's a little bit promiscuous to the extent that you had to warn her not to hang out with so-and-so, and she did. Sorry, we're not going to let you stay with her, even if you want to. Says Beis Shmuel, Im hayalav kinu v'stira, asru l'vayla achar kinu v'stira, after the warning and the stira, like from the word seser, the yichud, mashma de kofin la baila lehotzia, we'll force the husband that you must divorce your wife. Now, in the time of Beis Hamikdash, Bizman, Habayis Hoyatakana Ladavar, Lahashko Sosa Mayim Hamarim, you could give her the sota waters, Kadelevarim Hitahora Otumeya, to clarify, did anything really happen in that Yichud or not? But Ubizman has said, to Ein Takana Ladavar, we don't have the sota waters, and therefore we are less able to clarify situations, and therefore we'll force him to divorce his wife. Ubizman has said, to Ein Takana Ladavar, he asru lebaila. Now, that doesn't mean that anyone saw her be mizana. Yasur bizman zeh b'lo ein achad. There's no ein achad who saw her be mizana. All you had is kinui v'stira. Like I told you, he warned her. There was one aide who saw that they were miyached, and that's enough for her to be usher forever. Okay. Let's say the husband divorces her, and she goes out and marries that plumber, Dave the plumber, whom her husband said stay away from. Vim Avram Vinasa, Motsiano Samitachta Beget. We make Dave the plumber divorce this woman whom he just married. Afil Hayla Kamabana Mimenu. This is the Isra of Asulabal and Asulabal. He's the alleged Boel, even though we don't know if he did or not. And he will have to divorce her, even if they have children, from this second marriage. And now the phrase you might have been familiar with, Mipia Shmuel Lamdu, we learned from the Psukim. Kishem shehi asura labaila kach asura labawel. That's the din that we just learned. That the same way she's going to be asur to her husband, she will be asur to that alleged boel. We don't know if he was really a boel. If he was a boel, then of course. But even if there was just kinu and stira, there's just yichud, that enough would make her asur to that man forevermore. Now, the Pesachei Tshuva raises two questions about this situation. Let me present one story to you. You have a guy who goes on a business trip, and he's away for a long time. He's away for a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. After 6 months, his wife is lonely, and she is mizana with the guy, I don't know, the guy from the other side of town. She's mizana with Joe Schmo. Word comes back that her husband had died months ago. So when she was Mizana with Joe Schmo, she really was an Almana and allowed to be with Joe Schmo. But she didn't know that. She was Mechavin Fiznus. Joe Schmo was Mechavin Fiznus. He thought she was married. She thought she was married. It happens to be that we got word that, you know, the husband had really died. He was away for 6 months. She thought he was on a business trip. He died after 2 weeks. He died on the ocean on the way there to the business trip. He died 5.5 months ago. So now she wants to marry Joe Schmo, this guy with whom she was mizana with, the guy who kept her company while her husband was away. Could she marry him? So says the Yeshua Yaakov, Bevadai Mutaris, she could definitely marry this guy. You know why? Because she didn't do an Avera. She thought she was doing an Avera. He thought he was doing an Avera, but it wasn't an Avera. She was an Almana. Her husband was dead. Bevadai Mutaris. Mabekah Shekava Nasa Le'Isser Ho Be'emes Lazinsan. It's not Znus. You could think you're doing Znus, he thinks he's doing Znus, but it's not Znus because her husband was dead. And therefore, the Shuas Yaakov paskins that in this situation she will be able to marry the man with whom, you know, she got comfort while her husband was gone. That's case number one. Yeah, 100%. Since it's she thought that she was doing an Avera, so she should have to do tshuva on it, but doing tshuva doesn't mean she doesn't have to marry, can't stay married to this guy, or can't marry this guy. She'll do tshuva, he'll do tshuva, they should do tshuva, 100%. Yeah, in the same way that if you think you're eating treif and it ends up being kosher, the Gemara says you have to do tshuva, this would be equally bad. You think you're doing avera, it ends up not being avera. Chayv and tshuva. Okay, next case. This is a little bit more frightening. A married woman, goes to a party. I don't know why she went to a party, and I don't know why she drank at the party, but she went to the party, and she drank, and she was with somebody. She's a married woman. She wakes up the next morning, she knows she was with somebody, but she has no idea who it was. B'inyan zinsa, Ve'ena yodas im mi. So let's think for a second. Okay, so she's an Ashes ish. She violated adultery, so her husband will divorce. Okay. Okay, so now her first marriage is over. She made a stupid mistake. She'll start her life anew, and she'll get married to another husband. Who will she marry? Wait a second. Maybe she should be married to the whole world. Maybe she should be usher for her to marry the whole world. Because she has no idea with whom. Every person might be that person with whom she was mizana. She should be usher to the whole world. Zin slav enyo das in me. Asrula kol ha'olam. So, if you want to know the answer to that question, you have to look at this truest Bris Avram. I didn't look it up, but that's an interesting question to raise in a scenario where a woman was mizana, doesn't know with whom, a woman, Eishes Ish is mizana, she doesn't know with whom. So what are the parameters of Asru Le Baal and Le Baal? What are the parameters of Le Baal? She doesn't know who the Baal is. Okay, fine. We finished that section. We have one line of the Ramah, and we'll try to understand this line of the Ramah, maybe we'll stop after that. The Ramah says, V'hu hadin, im ne'esra b'shvila le'bayla, asura lo. If because of this Joe Shmo, she therefore becomes asur to her husband, she will be asur to Joe Shmo. Let's read that again. If she becomes asur because of this Joe Shmo, this inappropriate fellow, and thereby becomes asur to her husband, she will become asur to Joe Shmo, to marry Joe Shmo. What is he adding? What is Rama adding that we didn't know? I mean, we've been talking for the past five lines of the Shulchan Aruch that, of course, she's a married woman, she does something inappropriate with somebody else, she's usher to that person and to her husband. So what is he adding now by saying that she's going to become usher to the person, that she'll become usher to her husband as well? What's he adding? That's the question that I will now give you some background to be able to answer. What is Rama adding? And this is going to take us in a little bit of a different direction for just 1 minute. Let me ask you a question. I don't know if this would happen nowadays, but maybe in the old days it would happen more often. A married woman is raped, Rachmana Litzlan. Her marriage disintegrates, maybe she has PTSD, maybe she finds that her husband, you know, she was never happy with her husband, marriage disintegrates, now her first marriage is over. Is she allowed to marry the rapist? Remember, she was never interested, she was raped against her will. If a woman was mizana, an Eishes Ish was mizana with a Joe Shmo, so... And then her husband gets divorced, and then of course she hasn't divorced her husband. She's going to be usher to her husband and to Joe Shmo. But here, is she usher to Joe Shmo if she was never mizana willingly? Let's look at a Gemara and Ksuvah, Daf Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara and Ksuvah, Daf Tes Amud Aleph, talks about a historical situation that we'll see in a minute. The Gemara says, we'll talk about the historical situation in a moment. If all we have is testimony that a woman was mizana, one aid is meaningless. Or, that's one option, another possibility where a woman, an Eishes Ish, could become aser, is if there was kinei v'stira. I told you that. If the husband warned her, and then there was a sighting that she was miyach with a guy, afil be'ed echad nami, even only one aid saw her be miyach aid. Since there's raglaim ledavar, she'll also become asur to her husband. Fine. In fact, the Gemara, if that's the case, v'chitei ma'aser shahaya mipnei ma lo asruha. What's ma'aser shahaya? Says Rashi, ma'aser shahaya de bas sheva. Wait a second. With bas sheva, there were witnesses who knew what happened. There were witnesses who knew what happened. Remember, she was Uriah's wife. And she was Uriah's wife. And David, whatever he did with Bathsheba, was with Bathsheba while she was married to Uriah. At this point, that's what the Gemara says. So why is she allowed to continue to stay with David afterwards? Bathsheba stayed married to David afterwards. And the Gemara says, oh, the reason why she's allowed to stay married to David is because Hasam Ones Hava. because David forced her. In other words, what do you see from this story? You see a married woman who is forced to be with another man. She ends up being mutter to that other man. In this case, David being the bad guy, this is the chait of David and Bathsheba, he's the bad guy. David will be permitted to stay in a second marriage, after Uriah's marriage, David will be permitted to stay with Bathsheba. Why? Because she was Ne'ensa. Ne'ensa. Okay. Fascinating. So that means if a woman was raped, she is mutter to, while she's married, if her marriage disintegrates, she doesn't have to leave her marriage. She can stay married to her husband if she's raped. God forbid. A woman comes home from work and says, hubby, I was raped on my way home. Terrible, terrible, terrible. We'll call the police to try to find the rapist, Chas v'Shalom. But she's allowed to stay married. The question is, after, if this marriage, you know, disintegrates, could she marry that rapist if she identifies that rapist? So we just saw, yes, she could. What's the one case where, if she's raped, she's not allowed to stay married to her husband, and we're going to finish with this just about? What's the one case that if she's married to a man, and she gets raped, the rapist ruined her marriage, and she's not allowed to stay married to her husband? If the husband was a Kohen. If the husband was a Kohen, then if she's raped, the husband just made her usher to, I'm sorry, the rapist, she just made her usher to her husband. So that means the rapist, until now, again, a regular case, a man rapes a woman, married woman. She's mutter to her husband, and therefore she's also going to be mutter to the rapist if she wants to after the marriage disintegrates. But what happens if a man rapes an Ashes Kohen? The rape makes her usher to whom? Only to the husband, because he's a Kohen. But the rapist theoretically should be mutter. Ah, that's what this Rama is trying to tell you. The Rama is trying to tell you that if the Boel makes her usher to her husband, even though theoretically the Boel should be permitted to stay with her, if the marriage disintegrates and the Boel wants to marry her. However, since Imnasra Bishvila Labaila, if because of this rapist, as I just described, that made the woman, the Eshes Ish, usher to her husband because he's a Kohen, then this woman, even if her husband, her marriage to the Kohen disintegrates, will become usher to the rapist. Let me put that all together again. If a regular Yisrael and a Yisrael, marriage and a Yisrael rapist, a woman is married to a Yisrael, and she gets raped, she wants to marry the rapist afterwards, she's allowed to. Like we saw by Bathsheba, it was permitted. David was not a Kohen. Uri was not a Kohen, David was not a Kohen, and therefore she was allowed to marry David, even though she was raped, whatever, the Gemara explains what really happened, that would be mutter. However, what happens if her husband, while she was raped, her husband is a Kohen? Since he's a Kohen, and the husband will become usher to this woman once his wife is raped, that is going to flip over and make her usher also to the rapist. Not because she should really be ushered to the rapist, but since the rapist ushered her on the husband, who's a Kohen, that will flip back and usher this woman, if the marriage to the Kohen disintegrates, on the rapist as well. And that is suggested by Shmuel, what this Rama is trying to tell you, that even if though the woman really should not be ushered on the rapist, on the Boel, but there's a very specific case, in the case of Ones to an Ashes Kohen, which the husband will become ushered, even though the second man, the Boel, should be mutter, where since the husband becomes usher, the Boel will also become usher as well, only because the rapist made this woman usher to her husband, so that will flip back and make this woman usher to the rapist as well. And that's what the Beis Shmuel says to explain this case. Okay, so we're going to stop here, and Bez Hashem, next week we're going to get into the case of the various cases where there's raglaim l'davar, the mechura l'davar, those cases where we don't really know what happened. We see indications of inappropriate activity, but we don't have proof for anything more than that. What to do in such a case? Will we allow this woman to marry that man that she was found to, found coming out of the bushes or some dark room or some yichud with some man? other than her husband, is she allowed to marry that person or not if we don't have any other proof? That will be next week. Yeshkel, thank you for everybody for joining us. Thank you, Mr. Borenstein. Reb Pesach, Yechiel, good to have you. Mr. Goodman, Yossi, Reb